we have got to get these sprinklers started. I mean, not only does some of the corn crop need a drink, but we've got to do something to settle all the dust that President Trump kicked up yesterday.
Live from somewhere in the wilds of Iowa via the Mothership Studios of Farm Journal Broadcast in South Bend, Indiana, this is AgriTalk. Today it's the free-for-all. Chip, Sean, Jim, and Pam are ready to serve up a heaping hash of the week's news. And now, here's Chip Flory.
All right, John Herron, Farm Journal News Director. How are you this morning, my friend?
Quite frankly, a little upset.
Really?
Davis took all the fun buttons with him. I've got no mooing cows. I've got no yakety sacks. I've got no billions and billions and billions.
The billions and billions and billions would be useful this morning, wouldn't
it? Yes, they would.
Holy smokes, man. This has been quite the wild ride over the last not even 24 hours, trying to figure out exactly what is going on. And, you know, some of the backstory that is being reported now, and we'll talk to Jim Wiesmeyer about it here in just a little bit. And I'm sure, you know, Pam Johnson has been out in Washington, D.C. this week, so she may have heard some of the backstory to this as well. But it sounds like they had a briefing, John.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah, between President Trump, Lighthizer, Mnuchin, and so on. And I think it's Bloomberg is reporting. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think Bloomberg is the one that's reporting that the trade team wanted to let the Chinese negotiating team know that the threat of increased tariffs was coming. And evidently, President Trump vetoed that idea and with them in the room went ahead and sent that tweet.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's true or not. How do we know?
But in any event, it's a remarkable turn that, you know, we go from 2 days of talks, and immediately out of those 2 days of talks, which didn't have any breakthrough, but at least the two sides are talking,
yeah.
And we come out of that with this tweet threat that we're bringing back or adding on additional 10% tariffs. Yeah. You wonder what happened in those 2 days of talks that prompted this response from President Trump.
Right. So,
or was it something unrelated to the 2 days of talks that prompted this?
And that's something that I want to talk about too, because we've got the attitude now, and we're tired of hearing Larry Kudlow, President Trump, say China has promised to make purchases of more U.S. farm products. Okay, I'll admit I'm kind of getting tired of hearing that too. Doesn't mean that the Chinese aren't telling them that. I mean, I think we're making the assumption that it's only President Trump that is saying it. But what if he has been told and they're not following through?
Right, yeah.
Fentanyl, I think, is playing has a role in all of this too, doesn't it?
Well, at least according to the president's tweets, it does. And he says that they have made promises to curb exports of fentanyl into the U.S., which, of course, plays into the drug crisis going on in this country. And according to the president, and I think the data probably backs it up, that, you know, those exports to the U.S. have not been curbed at all.
Right. Yeah. So he's sending a message, I guess, that if you say you're going to do something, do it. So I don't know. We'll obviously we're going to talk more about this. Did that very quickly become the most looked at story on AgWeb this week, or was there something else?
It's near the top, but still, what is dominating the interest of our audience on AgWeb is anything related to market facilitation program, what this crop is going to be, really the dollars and cents of what's going to come out of this crop year. And quite frankly, I think everyone's, much like the markets, burned out on the China news. And until there's boats going, they're going to largely tune out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the export sales report yesterday was one that maybe didn't get as much attention as I thought it might. And I say that fully realizing that, yes, hogs were sharply lower again yesterday, but that cancellation of Chinese pork buys, It offset everything that we sold to China, or I'm sorry, that we sold to Mexico in the weekend of July 25. It was one of those. It was one of those reports that when you look at it, you get all the way down to the bottom and you think, oh, that's kind of a disappointing number. And then you look at the details of the pork sales and it was just like, ugh. And it makes me wonder, John, how if the ASF, I mean, I'm the guy that's been saying this is going to take a decade to sort out the ASF, the African swine fever in China and
yeah,
Asia.
Yeah.
It's going to take 10. I'm wondering if I'm underestimating how severe this is now.
Oh, wow.
Because they are just putting that pork into storage over there, and it's delaying their need to go out to the rest of the world, not just the U.S., but out to the rest of the world to buy product.
Well, of course, we don't know when the clock starts until they're able to get a handle on curbing the disease. And to this point, we don't see that that they've got an effective handle on it.
Right. Right, exactly. Okay, so what did you see this week that you thought, eh, that probably should have got a little bit more attention?
Well, let me talk a somewhat okay. feel-good story first that has gotten a lot of attention that some people may have missed. And it starts with a bad story. I mean, we all have been following the story of the Diemel brothers who disappeared in Missouri and actually had some news about their discovery yesterday. But on a positive side of that story, Mason Gorecki in Wisconsin, at a county fair hog show and sale, decided that he was going to take everything from the sale of his hog to benefit that family and help them with everything they're going through right now with those two missing brothers. It raised $10,000, $42 a pound at that sale. So hats off to Mason Gorecki for doing that, and the organizers of that that county fair auction that also
shout out to Mason.
Made sure that there were no fees taken out of it. The entire amount went to that family, so hats off to them.
That's outstanding.
And one other thing that I do want to mention while I've got the opportunity here, dealing with AgWeb, I think most everyone has seen that we've, in the last couple of weeks, launched a new design of the webpage. In that design, for various reasons, mostly because of dealing with spam, we took off comments. We heard from a lot of people how much they wanted those comments, read those comments, liked the dialogue that took place in those comments. So we have found a new vendor, and we have brought comments back on AgWeb. So please go back and check out agweb.com and look at the discussions that are starting up again on those stories on our website.
Right, right.
And again, that's brought about because of the feedback we got from our users.
Yeah, good, good. You know, those comments are always interesting. I feel like you need to take some of them with a grain of salt at times.
And sometimes people need to be a little more polite, shall we say.
Respectful.
Respectful, civil. Probably better, yeah.
Civil, yeah. When we had a monitored, back in the early days of the, I mean, I'm talking about 1997, 98, we had a monitored chat room on ProFarmer.com. And Jim Wiesmeyer will remember this. We said that the comments will be edited for brevity and civility.
And I guess which one had more action?
Yeah, the civility.
Yes.
No doubt. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Jim.
We will, just so everybody knows, this is a new Friday segment. We're going to start off with John Harith every Friday now to kind of set the stage for what's up next. And that is the free-for-all.
Dave Jones with the forecast.
Thanks, Karen. We have a rain system coming through the area, which means local farmers are looking at a very strong chance of nitrogen loss, unless they have Pivot Bio Proven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that apply nitrogen to corn no matter what Mother Nature throws at you.
Thanks, Dave. Sounds like farmers should start using Pivot Bio Proven.
That's right, Karen. With Pivot Bio Proven, your nitrogen stays put, whether or not.
To learn more, go to pivotbio.com.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist. And who handles employees? An HR manager. Someone who keeps devices up to date? A software technician. Someone who does business internationally? A global trader. someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner. And someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have ARC County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by...
Tell me something good.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Yeah, Davis, thank you for that intro. Davis is out of the studio today. He's enjoying the great outdoors here in Northeast Iowa. Hope he's having a good time. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory, and it is a free-for-all on today's show. Let's start with Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of NCGA. Pam's been out in Washington, D.C. quite a bit this week, haven't you, Pam?
Yes, I have, but not this week. It was 2 weeks ago. Just got back from Cincinnati at a Grains Council meeting, so have an ear to the ground from a lot of people about what's going on with trade and ethanol.
Yeah, yeah. What did you like what you saw when you got home?
You know, I'm thinking I should go out and look at things more closely because I just took a bike ride around last night and it doesn't look good even from a slow bike ride around the road. But, you know, after driving out to Cincinnati and back, just thankful we look as good here as we do.
Yeah, okay. And the condition of this corn crop in Northeast Iowa, including where Pam's at in Floyd County. You know what, Pam, you're up there where you caught some more rains early in the year than what we did down here, didn't you?
I think I gave up at like 54 to 57 inches.
That's right. I remember
but
that.
But it wasn't
now.
Good rain.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Sean Haney up in Canada. Sean, it's been a big week for you, hasn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it has been, Chip. Big changes over here. So probably a lot of people don't know, but you know, I do Real Agriculture, this media gig, and appear every Friday here on AgriTalk on the free-for-all. But I also have a family seed business, and this is the last week we decided to sell that business, and I'm going to focus full-time on my media opportunities.
Awesome. Well, you know, that makes me feel good, and it is a big change. It is a big change for the whole family, isn't it? It's a major transition.
Yeah, the family has been on this home quarter since the mid 20s. That's 1920, and so it's it comes with it comes with mixed emotions, right? It's a decision that we made, and it was a tough one, but there's a lot of opportunity going forward, and you know, like Chip, things change. Life changes, and you just got to roll with it, man.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of changing and sometimes staying the same, it's Friday. That means it's a free-for-all. But, boy, Wiesmeyer, this is a lot different than last Friday, isn't it?
It is, but the same exhaustion, however, anything Washington, Chip.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, well, you know, here's the deal. I'm going to go ahead and take a chance on this one. Actually, we're having a conversation with him off the air right now because we've got somebody on the line. We'll get him in here real quick, but let's kick it off. Jim, what do you make? What do you make of the threat? I mean, do we call it a threat of increased tariffs starting September 1, or what do we call it?
I think it's a threat. What is disconcerting from a news perspective, Chip, is that the White House put a statement out yesterday with none of this, which says, again, that came following the briefing. You would have hoped the White House would have had the briefing first and then put out the statement. So that led to some conflicts. But yeah, what we saw yesterday really extends the timeline for any resolution of this. I hope I'm wrong, but a growing number of traders think this is the new normal, the status quo. Again, I hope they're wrong, but all signs are starting to point to that.
What do you think, Pam?
Well, I learned a lot. I went to trade school. And, you know, at this point, I don't think there are any good outcomes that will come of this. And I heard over and over, China will not change its economic system. You talked earlier in the beginning of the show about them hunkering down and not buying pork. And pork has, what, a 62% tariff out of the U.S. now? Yep. We are in this for the long haul, and this is not fun, and it's not going to be easy. Trade wars are not easy to win, and all of this is WTO actionable if we would only join our partners and go together and fix this.
Yeah, not only are they not easy to win, they're not fun, and it turns out that they're expensive too, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't want to belabor it, but this is really hard on people. I heard a lot more farmers and the whole ag industry chain talking about the negatives and the long-term negatives and the long-term consequences of this. And so I think the best thing that came out of my meetings was the theme for next year out of Grains Council is make something happen. And so I think it's up to all of us to make something happen. So if we don't like what's going on, there are many calls to action out there this week. Right. And tell people your story, because if you just hunker down and stew in your own juices, you aren't going to help yourself or anybody else.
Right. Gotcha. Hey, we've got a caller on the line, Brian Anderson. He's a listener. And Brian, this is at KC0MYX, right?
That is correct.
That's what I figured. Thank you for calling in, Brian. You tweet at us all the time, and it's great to talk with you. What do you got going on up there in South Dakota?
Well, not only do I farm, I'm also the part-time emergency manager for a county. And an hour ago, we had a 90-minute rain event that dumped over 4 inches on Day County, northeast of South Dakota. And we were in the flood zone before with the snow and things and all the prevent plants because we have no rivers. We're in the prairie pothole region. It just keeps getting deeper. And I got roads going under everywhere. And the wheat harvest, it's all sitting there. And now it's all lodged and 4 inches of rain under it. It's going to be a disaster.
It's amazing, this system that is in the far western Corn Belt right now. It's eastern South Dakota, eastern Nebraska, and down through eastern Kansas and into eastern Oklahoma. But it's a north to south flow on this system, and it's not getting over into the areas that could use a rain. Not 4 inches in 90 minutes, but it's really a tough situation. Hey, Brian, what should I expect when we get up that way third week of August on crop tour? What's the maturity of the corn crop going to look like?
I would say right now we're about maybe 50% tasseled. It's coming along. There's a lot of the corn is behind, of course. You know, we were all late, but it's been wet feet. If we've been fighting loss of nitrogen and But the worst thing is also, it's maybe not worse when it comes to the trade thing, but we've probably got the worst soybean crop I've ever seen in our area. There's a lot of soybeans that aren't 10 inches tall. They've been sitting yellow and wet feet for months.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, yeah, Brian.
It's disheartening.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. No question. Thanks for calling in, Brian. Really appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon. Thank you. Thank you. We will. But, hey, let's see. You know what? I'm going to go to Wiesmeyer on this because I know he's been hearing some of this too. The concern over the corn crop is real, legitimate. But are you picking up, I think you are, that the concern over the bean crop might even be higher out in the countryside than what it is on corn?
Absolutely, Chip. In all my speeches and amongst big-time traders who've gone out to look at the crops through the heart of the states, absolutely. I think that's going to be, could be the big surprise August the 12th.
Right. Okay. Speaking of August the 12th, in July, the World Ag Outlook Board projected corn yield at 166. And this week, the yield question got wilder when FC Stone put out an estimate at 167.4, up a bushel and a half from the July projection that we got from the World Ag Outlook Board. I mean, that's going in the opposite direction of what most people expected to go.
You know, but nobody knows, right?
That's right.
And we won't know until maybe January. We all out here in the countryside will get a better feel on it. And the number one question is, what's the frost date?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Chip, if you gave me a 167, I would, you know, and like Pam says, nobody knows, but I'll take the under on that. And I'll tell you what, if we get, with all this adversity that we have had this year, and we still have an average corn yield of 167. Wow.
Yeah.
2019 will be the death of the weather market in the future because nobody's ever going to believe us going forward.
Write that one down. 2019 will be the death of the weather market if we get a 167 on a national average corn yield. That is a great way of putting it, Sean. Okay. We're going to continue the free-for-all when we come back. We need to talk a little bit more about the tariff threats and what it might mean for these markets down the road and what we're really hoping to accomplish. What are we really trying to get to? We'll do that next right here on AgriTalk.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson is wrapping up another week here, and we've actually got a little bit of buying interest in back into the corn market, Jeff.
Well, what do you expect after the lashing it took the last few days for, you know, I mean, corn's not even involved with Chinese trade, for crying out loud. I mean, they've had stuff put against us on DDGs, on ethanol, on corn imports for years. So corn just got stuck in the long liquidation cycle.
Yeah.
Funds have now probably reduced their positions dramatically from over 200,000 net long to, you know, maybe it's less than 50,000. So it's now at a point where it needs a fresh supply news item, and that may come in the August 12th report.
Yeah, but we still got to wait for the August 12th report. It's not like next week when we start getting more of the private crop estimates that all of a sudden the market's going to realize there's a problem out there.
No, you have to have evidence, and evidence will be USDA's estimates of both corn and soybean crops. And you know, we'll get, you know, the market has taken almost all of the weather premium that we put in the May June rally, and so I think there's just going to be a pause here next week, and so next 5 days could be pretty choppy trading, you know, maybe a little higher, a little lower each day.
Yeah, got some mixed trade in the lean hog market, but that's better than what we've seen earlier this week.
Yes, very mixed trade. What's going on is we've seen some strength in both the beef and the pork markets this week, which is encouraging. I think it's nice to see that the hog slaughter is down from a week ago, so supplies are lightening up a little bit.
Gotcha, Jeff. Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend. That is Bro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson on Markets Now.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
The 2019 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is coming soon. Kicking off August 19th, watch for extensive coverage on air and online. The premier sponsor of Crop Tour is Pioneer, with support from IBM, RCIS, RAM, Arrow Environment, Titan Tires, and Farm Credit Services of America. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Hey, Wiesmeyer, remember that nice young man that came up and said that he enjoys Signal to Noise podcast on the AgriTalk app last week?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From Iowa State University.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, get this. Okay. How about Caleb Ellis? He is a freshman in high school in Waumandi, Wisconsin. I don't know if I've got that right or not, Caleb, but there you are. He's a freshman up there. Brian Winnikins, who is the farm director at WRDN up in Durand, Wisconsin, says that he is a huge fan of AgriTalk. So, hey, Caleb, thanks for listening, buddy. Appreciate it. And thanks, Brian, for the heads up on that. Okay, China's going to retaliate. If that 10% tariff on $300 billion worth of goods actually happens, China's going to retaliate. How's it going to happen?
They can take you know different methods, not primarily at the U.S. products, other than raising the already high percentages because they're almost exhausted at that end. But they have many maneuvers they can take. One conjecture was that they could postpone the September talks in the U.S. relative to the high level officials. That would not be a good sign. I'm not predicting that yet, but the ongoing working groups, you know, between the lower level officials will continue. But China has shown a history of countermeasures, tit for tat, Chip.
Yeah, but they can't. This is too big for them to counter with on tariffs, though, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They can't tit for tat on tariffs,
right?
But they can throw up some other roadblocks, and the investment community is worried about that. And this threatened 10% tariffs on the $300 billion, you know, dollars that gets into consumer goods, phones, iPhone. You think Apple is not concerned? So this would have an immediate impact on our economy and the world economy.
Yeah.
Hey, Chip, I'll give you an example of some of the things that China has done to Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, so in this, instead of putting tariffs on Canada or saying, hey, we're going to stop the flow of this product to us, what they do is they suspend the licenses of some of the grain exporting companies. So just give you an example, and I'm just pulling names out of the air, but saying, you know, hey, Cargill, you can't ship soybeans to China out of the U.S. anymore. And that's some of the tactics they've used on companies like Viterra and Cargill and canola here. So the president yesterday, Chip, I got to get this in. I don't want to use the word incoherent, but he, so many times he is in tune with his audience. Okay. Like he's so in tune. Yesterday though, Boyd, he said something that just immediately caught my eye and just made my stomach sort of go a little bit squirrely. His quote was in regards to trade with China. If they don't want to trade anymore, that would be fine with me.
Yeah.
It will save us a bunch of money. Yeah. Chip, what is he?
I don't know.
It reminds me of when he said, it's okay if we pull out of NAFTA because it really doesn't matter. Well, two outright lies. In fact, that's how I got started on AgriTalk, guys, because I called in and gave the reasons why matter. And, so I think we all bring up great points, but once again, consumer, please realize that you are paying the tariffs. I mean, he always says China's paying the tariffs. It doesn't really matter. We are paying the tariffs. We are enduring the retaliation. So along with your comment, Sean, there also will be an up in non-tariff trade barriers, you know, biotech approvals or movements of grain. I mean, there could be a whole litany of lists. I just have to add this. So there was a guy at the Grains Council meeting. He said, you know, Trump, yeah, he's good at one thing. He's good at scaring the bejesus out of China and all other trading partners. But then where's the substance? What's the game plan? What does success look like? What do we really want in the end?
Right.
And is it achievable?
Right. Jim, we've been asking that question of what does success look like on this for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And we're just into an era that sometimes presidents just don't tell the truth. I mean, you know, Obama, you can keep your health care policy to now the far more egregious, you know, Trump, issues. They just don't tell the truth sometimes.
Yeah. This whole tariff issue is one that just baffles me that it, and again, I've said it. I think everybody understands where I stand on the president. I've been supportive of many of the actions. Dealing with China is something that should have been done decades ago. But Haney, are we just to the point now where we're realizing just exactly what dealing with China means, because we are asking them to make a huge fundamental shift in the way that they run their economies?
Yeah, the request is big. So we talk about, you know, 90% of the way there, and there's only 10%. That 10% is like the longest yard possible, right? And so it's about the strategy, because everybody, like, you know, you talk to people on Wall Street, you talk about people in farm country, most people, the majority of people are like, there needs to be changes. And, but where things go in different directions is on the tact of it. And, you know, there's been a lot of criticism here in Canada in terms of Canada's soft, laid-back approach to China. It's not working. Quite frankly, the aggressive approach that President Trump has provided, it's not working either.
Right.
And he's trying to frame the discussion that this is going to be this long-term thing. I'm okay. I'll sit here and wait. We don't need to trade with him. Poppycock. Everybody knows that is not true. The U.S. needs a deal as much as China does. And now this week's meetings, honestly, it felt like more of a divorce talks than actually getting closer to a deal.
Yeah.
And so it's
one of the things that bothered me about this week's talks was one of the summaries made it sound like they were having more philosophical discussions than actual negotiations on how I thought we were way past that. Senator Grassley, I think, thought we were way past that, because on Monday morning when he was on the show, guys, he basically said, listen, the good news here is that the U.S. said that we're not going back into talks until we get back to where we were before the talks broke off. So he said we were at the 10-yard line. China broke it off, moved us back to the 30-yard line. So restarting the talks meant that we were back at the 10-yard line. Jim, is that right?
Well, we've definitely had a few steps back. I don't know how to you know otherwise
Maybe
phrase it, but we're not going forward, Jeff.
Right. Okay.
And you know, you got to feel sorry for Lighthizer and Mnuchin because they keep getting the legs just cut out from under them. So I've heard, you know, the Chinese are saying, quit sending those guys over. If the deal is all about what the president's tweeting, then let's have the president negotiate this deal.
Interesting.
And this is not a real estate, a one-off real estate deal in reality TV. And I think we have to get our heads around that it takes more than a barroom brawl to negotiate complex trade deals.
Right. Okay.
Well, I'm hearing increased criticism of Lighthizer this week in terms of, you know, how they are approaching the China trade talks. The, you know, sort of this do this or else strategy. It worked on Canada and Mexico. Let's be honest. Canada is a much weaker economic power. Canada just wanted to hopefully hold what they had in the free trade agreement, and they did give up some things. China's a different story, and they have to find a different strategy than just, hey, we're going to tariff you until you cave. China's not bowing down to that.
Gotcha. I need to switch gears here, guys, in the last minute and a half to 2 minutes of this segment. Jim at Phoenix One is tweeting at us, is Trump doing something on EU trade today? That's got something to do with the U.S.-EU beef deal, right?
Yeah, it's the well-expected. So, you know, they're going to make a big deal, but we've been knowing that that was coming out, Chip. I mean, I'm not going to say it's negative news, but what we're really waiting for is how he's going to retaliate to France's digital moves in the trade arena. That's the big one. But the beef one is officially going to be announced, and at least we're going to have confirmation of that. That, you know, that's a step in the right direction.
Right.
And is that only on antibiotic and implant-free cattle?
Yeah, non-hormone.
Non-hormone.
Yeah. So just a tip here. Be prepared for – that's great. There's a deal. Canada's experience has been they have the same thing in the CETA agreement. It's still difficult to get beef into the region because Europe continues to put up tons of barriers on some of the technicals of that. So that's something that the USTR is going to have to really push for.
Right.
And the USTR bandwidth is so narrow now. I mean, look at all the bases they're covering. And Lighthizer said, if we don't get USMCA passed, the whole rest of the trade agenda is squat.
Right. Right. We're going to talk about USMCA in the next segment because I want to know if Pelosi did make some assurances. But first, Jim, Japan, 30 seconds. We're making good progress there.
Absolutely. That's the shining star here. Yep. And unless the rug is pulled out, it looks like a mini ag agreement. And that's not a negative. It's a positive for meat, wheat, and other U.S. commodities.
Yeah, this is one of those deals that you know, we've been hoping for, I guess, ever since pulling out of the TPP, hoping that we could get the bilateral done with Japan, because without that agreement, it puts our beef exports, wheat exports at a significant disadvantage going into Japan. And we need to fix that problem, especially with what Australia is dealing with, drought and liquidating beef. They're kind of dominating that market in there right now. Okay, when we come back, let's talk USMCA. Did Pelosi really give assurances that if I get this budget deal, we'll do USMCA?
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions.
Our last hemp college sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Boy, you got that right, Davis. The truth is hard to come by sometimes these days. All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. We are having a free-for-all today. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio, and Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, past president of the National Corn Growers Association. Jim, Steve Mnuchin said earlier this week, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said earlier this week that in part of the deal making on the budget bill was Pelosi agreeing to take up USMCA by October. Do you think she made that agreement because she's not willing to put it in writing?
Well, she doesn't usually play her cards that overtly, Chip. I think she probably gave some signals and maybe, you know, Mnuchin leaped at that. But yeah. It doesn't sound like the cagey Pelosi that most of us in Washington know. I think she clearly wants to move it forward. But until her caucus is satisfied with some of their concerns on the environmental, labor, and pharmaceutical front, I don't think she's going to make any commitment.
Yeah,
we have to remember that she voted yes on NAFTA.
Yeah,
and so when I was in D.C., I got to meet with Richard Neal's staff, chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, who is the chair of the working group that's working very closely with Lighthizer to move this forward, and really was optimistic about what I heard, and also from Jimmy Panetta out of California talking about ag issues and how important it is to USMCA. So I actually came home more optimistic about the possibility of getting it passed and working together on that working group to address those issues. And also, you know, we often scramble for good news, but there is a caucus called Problem Solvers Caucus in the House, 24 D's, 24 R's. They just got their noses to the grindstone working on immigration issues and infrastructure. So there's a lot of good happening there that we don't hear about out in the countryside.
Yeah, good point, Pam. Good point. And, you know, I believe that Pelosi, that Speaker Pelosi wants this agreement, USMCA. I really do. I think she wants it. I just don't think she wants to give Trump a win.
Well, no. I think she wants it. I agree with Pam on this one. It's called U.S. It's called California agriculture. You don't have to go very far in California to see the significance of trade market access, not only in North America, but around the world. But I think she's the leader of her caucus, and she can't give the total signal until they check that marks off on these working groups.
Right. Well, and we saw this week.
We saw this week
Tom Vilsack. He was in front of the Senate Finance Committee, I believe, with Grassley, and talking about how, you know, the importance of USMCA to the dairy industry. Of course, there's a lot of dairy farmers in California too, right? So this is going to happen. I think the thing is that some of the people in her party, though, maybe some of their expectations on the changes in terms of labor regulations and trying to move the pharmaceutical side forward, those are big asks too. And so can she keep them in check and just get them to accept what we have here, because it's so critical for the economy.
Right.
Bottom line is she needs the votes.
Yeah.
So let the process work. You know, I went to Washington, D.C. saying I want this done now and I want it done before the break. And what I learned is you got to let the process work, make sure the votes are there, because when Bush dropped the Columbia Agreement and the votes weren't there and it went down in flames, it took another 3 years to bring it up, and we certainly don't want that.
Right. Gotcha. Jim, we got some news this week that the representative from the 11th District of Texas is not going to be up for re-election. We're talking about the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, Mike Conaway. He's a friend of the show, and he's a friend of agriculture, and it's going to be a battle to get the right guy back in there to replace him.
Yeah, Conaway was is a classic spokesman for agriculture and diversified in his interest, both the northern, southern, western interest, and has one of the best staffs in Congress. He will be missed when he leaves after the end of this Congress. The early guess, Chip, is G.T. Thompson will be the ranking member after Conaway goes, or the new chairman if the Republicans regain control of the House. And I know you know G.T.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's quickly becoming a friend of AgriTalk as well. And you know, I mean, you gotta stay close to the guys that are going to be in leadership positions there. I mean, no question about
yes.
that. And speaking of that, David Wasserman, the house editor for the Cook Political Report, in a Signal to Noise podcast that was, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, Jim, something like that?
Maybe three. Feels like three.
Yeah, if you haven't heard that yet, go back and find it and listen to it. Because he was talking about House Ag Chairman Peterson potentially having a tough time in 2020.
Yeah, he flat out said he was in trouble. And now we have a task force of Aggies, resurrecting, their push to get Colin, reelected. Yeah. It all depends on the Republican candidate, David says. But, that's the most sugar beet growers in any district is in Colin Peterson's district. And agriculture shows they vote. And Colin has been in very close elections the last few. But again, I can say no more high remarks for how Colin has transacted in most instances farm and energy policy.
Absolutely.
A big supporter of ethanol and, of course, pushing farm bills through.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Pam, keep an eye on the crop out there. And I'm off next week, but you have a great week, and hopefully we'll get you back on here next week for another free-for-all, okay?
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
You bet. That is Pam Johnson. She is a farmer here in Northeast Iowa, past president of the National Corn Growers Association. Hey, Haney, I'm heading your way. I'm heading to your country.
You are?
Oh, yes.
Yes. That'll be – you're going to enjoy it, Chip.
Well, I might be there by midnight, but just – tell the northern pike and the walleye they need to watch out because Chip's on the way.
Will do, man. Enjoy.
All right. Have a good week.
Cheers, bud.
All right. That is Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Jim, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, man. That is Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Come back this afternoon. We got Brian Split from AgMarket.net.
This year, the marketing intern at Wiffles Hybrids suggested that if we wanted to reach the next generation of farmers, we'd have to start using something called a hashtag, which is really just the pound symbol, so here goes nothing. Hashtag. Independent seed. Explosive yield. Viral corn. Now we'll just corn have to emoji. Wait for our seed corn to go viral. Wiffles Hybrids, quite possibly the best hybrids you can buy. Am I doing this okay?
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.